Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, we have come in our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians to that remarkable account in chapter 2 where Paul confronted Peter. This sounds like a very volatile situation. It sounds like a potentially embarrassing situation for Peter. It's kind of an interesting situation from this standpoint, namely that if Peter was the leading apostle, if Peter was the first pope, then Paul certainly was out of line. But if Peter was simply another apostle, like Paul and like John and like the others, and he was doing something that was wrong, then of course the others had a responsibility to confront him and to correct him, because they were all equals, they were all peers, and they were all responsible before God to defend the truth of the gospel as it had been delivered to them by Jesus Christ. And so here's Paul doing exactly that, and he records it in Galatians 2:11. He says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with them, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?'" Now, let's analyze this a little bit more, a little further than we did yesterday. "When Peter had come to Antioch, I," said Paul, "withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed." Peter, of course, was headquartered in Jerusalem. The Antioch here is Antioch, Syria, 400 miles north of Jerusalem, where Paul had been invited by Barnabas to come and to help him minister to that church, help him pastor that church. Is that this incident during that period of time when Paul and Barnabas and others, as recorded in Acts chapter 13, are pastoring the church in Antioch before Paul and Barnabas were called out to missionary service? Could be. It's really very difficult to locate the time of this particular incident. But the point is, Peter came and he was also ministering in that church on a temporary basis, but these apostles traveled around to different places, preached in different cities, and when they did, they generally stayed for a period of weeks or months. Not necessarily years, they kept moving around, but travel wasn't as easy in those days as it is in ours. It wasn't as easy as jumping in a car, jumping in on an airplane, and jumping in some kind of modern conveyance and whisking off to another place. If you made the arduous journey by foot, oftentimes, but if you made the arduous journey several hundred miles from one place to another, you weren't going to do that just for a week or two. You were going to stay there for a while. So Peter was there. He came. And it says, "When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed," said Paul. Well, what was he blameworthy about? Well, here it is, verse 12. "For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." And this is another indication that Peter was there for a period of time. He had been there long enough to establish a pattern of behavior, namely, that he entered into the fellowship meals with the Gentiles and Jews, all eating together, fellowshipping together around the agape meal before the Lord's table. Peter had no qualms with that, no difficulty with that. As well, he should not have had any difficulty with that. In other words, Peter was behaving in an exemplary manner. He was behaving in an expected manner. He was behaving like all the members of the church behaved. He was behaving like all the other teachers, pastors of the church behaved. They made no distinction between Jew and Gentile. They all fellowshipped, mingled, ate together, no difference whatsoever. That's the way Peter conducted himself before certain came from James. But when certain men came from James, that means from Jerusalem. James was the senior pastor of the church at Jerusalem. We learn that from Acts chapter 15, the great council at Jerusalem. James here would not be the apostle James, who was beheaded by Herod, recorded in Acts chapter 12, but rather James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, and the one who wrote the epistle of James. And James was an elder, not an apostle, though he gained almost apostolic stature and is almost treated like an apostle. But after all, he was one who knew the Lord personally, knew him before his death and after his resurrection and so forth. In many ways, he would have qualified to be an apostle, but he was not one of the men who was appointed to be an apostle. But he was an elder, and he had risen to the position of chief elder, senior pastor, as we would call him today. And that's another story. I don't want to get sidetracked into that right now. But if you think that the Bible teaches that there is no leader among a plurality of elders, you aren't reading the Bible very carefully, and you certainly aren't taking careful note of Acts chapter 15. And the obvious leadership of James there, that is just unquestioned. Everybody recognizes him as the right person to be leading, and he just makes some decisions, makes some pronouncements, without consulting with anybody. The consultation, basically, was the public forum that took place at the Council of Jerusalem. And when everybody had an opportunity to say what they wanted to say, and others, virtually everybody was there to hear the deliberations, when all was said and done, James said, "All right, now that we've done all this, and we've all had an opportunity to think about it, and I've had an opportunity to hear all the sides and to think about all the issues, here's what we're going to do." And he just made a pronouncement. Nobody said, "Wait a minute, James, you don't have the right to do that. Before you do that, we've got to get the elders together in a private council to decide what's going to be done, and then we can come out and announce it to the congregation, and we'll give you the opportunity of making the announcement. You can have that kind of authority, but come on, who gave you the authority to just tell everybody what it is that we're going to do here?" Well, that's an interesting question. Obviously, he was exercising authority that placed him above all the other leaders, and it's obvious that that was acceptable, that was expected. Nobody thought that was out of place. So I did take more time talking about the leadership structure here than I had intended to, but at any rate, these certain men came from James. That is, they came from Jerusalem and probably came claiming that they were authorized by James, sent by James. But that, of course, is very unlikely. They liked to represent themselves that way, but I don't think they were representing themselves honestly. But anyway, they came from James. And before that, Peter was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Sounds like these people who came from James are basically the same men, or at least the same kinds of men, that Paul is writing this whole epistle to the Galatians about. These men that we call Judaizers, who contended for circumcision and Mosaic dietary laws, along with faith in Jesus Christ, for a person to be considered a Christian, or at least to be considered, what? an obedient Christian, a spiritual Christian, an honorable Christian, because when these people came from James, and what did they find? They found all the Christians, Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians, all of them fellowshipping together, eating together, and obviously not keeping a kosher table, just eating their customary food. Jewish food, Gentile food made no difference. Ham, beef, made no difference. They were just eating it all together. So here they were, some of them circumcised, many of them not. Some of them who may be at home ate a kosher diet, but not when they were at the church fellowship meal. They just ate whatever was brought. It was a potluck dinner. It was a fellowship meal. Everybody brought their food and share alike. Well, these people came from James, and that wasn't acceptable to them. And so they put pressure on the Jews to separate from the Gentiles and to eat at a different table, to only eat the Mosaic diet, and to only eat with those who were circumcised. They were putting pressure on the Jews to do this, and in this way, they were putting pressure on the Gentiles. If you want to be considered honorable Christians, spiritual Christians, obedient Christians, fully obedient Christians, then you've got to be circumcised and start keeping a kosher diet, a kosher table. And until you do, we're not going to fellowship with you. And Peter was pressured by these men to do what they did. When they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. He withdrew. That was wrong. He separated himself. That was wrong. And why did he do it? Because he was afraid of these Judaizers. Why was he afraid? I don't know. But they bullied him. They made him afraid. I don't know what they said. If you don't join us in this, we're going to make life hard for you. If you don't join us in this, we're going to make it hard for you to find entrance into Jewish Christian society. If you don't join us in this, we're going to tell the Jews in Jerusalem what you're doing, and they're not going to like it, and they're not going to receive your ministry. When you come back, you're not going to be able to preach to them. They're not going to accept your leadership anymore. By pressure, by bullying, by separation tactics, they were putting the pressure on Peter. This really does raise some questions about separation. Is there a biblical doctrine of separation? Yes, there is. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, and so forth. But if there is a true Bible doctrine of separation, there's also a counterfeit separation, a false separation, a sinful separation. And here it is. Some people separate when they ought not. Some people separate when it's wrong. Some people separate when it's sinful. Some people separate in a carnal way, not an obedient spiritual way. That's what the Judaizers were doing, and they pressured Peter into doing the same. And that's why Paul withstood him to his face. That's why Paul said before them all, "What in the world are you doing? This is wrong. This is inconsistent. I don't care what your name is, whether it's Peter or what it is. I don't care who you've been with. I don't care what your title is, whether it's an apostle or not. This is wrong, and all you people here know it's wrong." And Peter and the others hung their heads in shame. And Paul stood for the truth. Until Monday, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.